This morning we have before us the sons of Levi. And when I showed the lessons or the scriptures to my parents, my mom said, "I don't like that one." And then I tried to explain to her what I what the thought was. But I think it's important for us. We just sang it in this song, "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord." And in this thought of being servants, of being God's servants, consecration, does that come in? It must. It must. And we must be sanctified, set apart. We're going to find that in our reading today. And so if we open our Bibles, 2 Chronicles 29. I'll read together, or I'll read to you from the NIV this morning. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary." Now maybe we just should step back a little bit. And who were these sons of Levi? Who were the Levites? What do we know about them? Where did they come from? How did they get their name?
Because their father's name was Levi.
Weren't they the descendants of Aaron? They became high priest?
Well, Aaron was a son of Levi. Oh. So you're right, the priest came from Aaron. Aaron's family, they were the priests. But the larger family, the larger tribe, was the tribe of Levi. He was one of the sons of Jacob. And what else? We had mentioned the Levites once before while we've been here. What happened to them, or what story did they play into?
During the time when Moses came down from the mountain, found the Israelites sinning, Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And the Levites came up to him.
Right. Now, was what tribe was Moses from? He was from the tribe of Levi, right? He was Aaron's brother. Right? So the Levites. And because of that stand that they took for God, God chose them to serve him in the temple, in the tabernacle. And he, it's almost like he exchanged them. He said, "They're mine." When they gave the inheritance to the other tribes, God said, "No, they don't get their own inheritance. They're mine. The Levites belong to me." And the people of Israel had to actually pay that exchange, their firstborn for the Levites. And so God took them into his service. And it's a picture of us. God has brought us into his service. And now Hezekiah, what has taken place? Now we're near the end of the kingdom of Judah. It says his father David. Well, David had been hundreds of years before. And now we've come to this time, Hezekiah. And he was a good king, but the kings that had preceded him had been wicked. And why was it that the temple needed to be repaired? Why? Because it had been neglected. It had been closed up. There was no longer sacrifices offered, no more worship of God in the temple. And when Hezekiah became king, the first month of the first year, it's like he did it right away. But he realized that he was not the one necessarily to do that work. He realized that God had set aside a people, a tribe, a group of men to do that work. And so he calls the priests and the Levites together and he says to them, consecrate yourselves, or sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers. Carry forth the filthiness, the defilement from the holy place. Now those words are interchanged here in the King James and the NIV. Consecrate and sanctify. What do those words mean? Now these are things that you could be writing down in your book, right? What does it mean to sanctify something? Set apart for holy use.
Yes.
Sanctify. Set it apart. It's not just something that we, you know, well, even in the kitchen, right? You know, you don't use the same pot that you wash the floor with to cook the noodles. I hope you don't. We don't do that at camp anyway, right? There are certain vessels, certain utensils, certain things that are set apart. And that was the way it was in God's service.
Yes.
But not only utensils, but here it is, the priests, the Levites, the people that were called to serve in the temple had to be sanctified. And then that word consecrate. Because it has a similar meaning. What do you like to think of as consecrate? That
consecrate. It's comprised of two words. One means to fill, and the other is hand. You fill the hand of God with yourself. You consecrate. You give yourself.
Complete.
You understand? Into His hand. Consecrate. To fill God's hand. I fill His hand with myself. I'm no longer mine.
Hallelujah. All right, so that was the call. So that's something you could put down. As a servant of God, I am called to consecrate myself, to sanctify myself. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? I mean, in the Old Testament, they had to offer certain sacrifices, certain offerings. How do we do that? Do I sanctify myself?
No.
Do I consecrate myself?
Yes.
Yes, in a sense we do. We have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, cleanse me. Now let's see what takes place in the story. I'll read again verse 5. Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary, the holy place. Our fathers, verse 6, were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook Him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on Him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Now just look at those verses. What were the things that they did that showed they had turned their back on God? It says that, right? It says they turned their back on God. Now get that picture. Because that's really where the word repentance comes in. Why do you and I need to repent? Why? Because we've turned our backs on God. And what do I do when I repent, Kayla? I turn around. All right? I'm going to turn around. I turn around like this. And now I'm facing God. You see, repentance is something that puts me in right relationship to God. And that's why repentance is so important. Sometimes we do turn away. Yes, there's that initial act of repentance.
But there are times when we turn away from God, we turn our backs, as it were, to God, and God says, you need to repent. So what do I need to do, Kayla?
Turn
around.
Right.
I turn away from that thing that displeases God, and I turn to God. And the people had evidence, the fact that they had turned their backs, because they shut the doors of the porch. Church was closed, so to speak. They did not burn incense. They put out the lamps. I think the lamps speak of the Word of God, the light that we find in God's Word. It was no longer taught. It was no longer presented to the people. The light had gone out. The incense was no longer burning. No longer were prayers being offered to God. They didn't have any more burnt offerings. There was no more consecration. Lord, here I am to serve you. We are your people. We offer ourselves. That had all stopped. It goes on to say, therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He had made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now I intend to make a covenant, verse 10, with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. See, Hezekiah was given the insight to see why they were in the condition they were as a nation. Is it a pretty picture?
Ugly picture.
Yeah, but he knew that there was a reason. He didn't blame God. He didn't say, God, where are you? Why did you forsake us? He said, no, we have forsaken you. We've turned away. Now, how about in our own lives? Have we forsaken the place of prayer? Do we ask God to shine the light of his word upon our hearts? Do we offer ourselves? Do we surrender to him daily? Have we ceased to fellowship with other believers? Well, if we do, if that's the condition of our lives, it's going to be reflected in the fact that God's blessing cannot rest upon you. And instead of maybe blaming God, we ought to ask him to help us to turn again unto him. And so Hezekiah says, I want to make a covenant with God. And here again now is a verse that maybe you'd want to write down in your book. Verse 11. Who is he speaking to? The Levites. He says, my sons, and I'll add my daughters, my servants, my chosen ones, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him, and to burn incense. Hezekiah realized that these men, these Levites, were key. They were the ones that needed to do the work, to serve God, to restore the worship, to cleanse the temple. And he says, don't be negligent. God is giving you something to do. And as servants of God, all of us, Levites, you who serve the Lord, don't be negligent. Don't be negligent in your service, in your worship to your God. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. And here's just, again, just a thought, because I think God spoke to us about this morning already, this thought of prayer, burning incense. That's a picture of prayer. God wants us to be a people of prayer. And not just pray for ourselves, but to pray for others.
When was the last time you prayed for someone else? Yes, we have needs. Yes, we have our own problems. But I believe God would like us to learn to pray for others, to intercede, to bring others to the throne of grace. And as we do, I know that God would meet our need. Have you found that so?
You are called to minister before Him and to burn incense. Can we all pray? Is that something we can do?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Ramona. We all can pray. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't pray as well as some of those saints that are here. I can't pray like that. But you can begin to pray. How do you learn to pray? By praying. How do you learn to ride a bicycle? By riding the bicycle. And you don't have to read a book about how to ride a bicycle to ride a bicycle. And you don't need a how-to book. I know I just pulled out a book, 12 Months Guide to Bread of Prayer. But I can read that book, right? But if I don't pray, it doesn't mean much, does it?
A prayer doesn't have to be a fancy prayer either. It's like a conversation with the Lord, like you're conversing with your mother, your sister. The only thing with a little more glory and respect to the Lord. But it's a conversation like any other conversation, and after you glorify Him, if you want to make a special petition, which that's what I do that after I glorify Him and I thank Him, and et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end, I start asking for petition for sick people, for the peace of the world. And you taught me the other day to be specific, so I'm being specific.
Good.
You know, once somebody had, I guess it was like a children's sermon, and this is how long ago it was. He took a telephone with cord, and he stuck it in the ceiling, the tile in the ceiling, and he put it to his ear. And he go, "Hello, God, I got something to talk to you today about." Today, illustrate that with a cell phone.
Right.
That's what it is. Just like start talking to God, like you were talking on the phone.
Amen.
It's interesting.
All right, let's jump down to the 15th verse. You can read all the names of the Levites if you'd like. But we'll jump down to 15. When they had assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord as the king had ordered, following the word of the Lord. So that's an interesting verse, isn't it? What did they do first? They took care of themselves first.
Yes.
All right? Look at me. Go like this. Take care of yourself first. You can't clean the temple of God unless you, first of all, are consecrated, sanctified, right with God.
Amen.
And then they went in to purify the temple as the king had ordered, following the word of the Lord. Now, I think that it wasn't just the king's commandment, but they knew what God had prescribed in the law of Moses, what needed to be done. And they set out to do that. I'm so thankful that God gives us His Word. I don't have to tell people what to do. We don't have to tell people what we think or how things should be done. We can point them to the Word of God. And we can allow the Lord Himself to show and to direct how things ought to be done. It's His work, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't accept counsel or people can't speak into our lives the words of God. But we need to follow His Word, His way. And so they set about to cleanse the temple. The priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. The Levites took it and carried it out to the Kidron Valley. They began the consecration on the first day of the month, and by the eighth day of the month they reached the portico of the Lord. For eight more days they consecrated the temple of the Lord itself, finishing on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and reported, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the table for setting out the consecrated bread with all its articles. We have prepared and consecrated all the articles that King Ahaz removed in his unfaithfulness while he was king. They are now in front of the Lord's altar." Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials together and went up to the temple of the Lord. They brought seven bulls, seven rams, seven male lambs, and seven male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then the king commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer these on the altar of the Lord. As servants of the Lord, beloved, God wants us to be clean, pure, holy. I thought of that verse from the book of Timothy. He wants us to be vessels unto honor, prepared, sanctified for the Master's use. And so we want the Lord to search our own hearts. Lord, begin with me. Lord, remove anything in my temple, this temple of the Holy Ghost. Remove anything that defiles, anything that's unclean. I want to be sanctified, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. The reference at the bottom of the page here to Malachi is the verses that talk about the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. He will purify the sons of Levi that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And so I am just challenged myself. Lord, I don't want to be negligent. I want to consecrate myself. I want to be sanctified. I want you to purify me so that the offerings that we bring, the service that we bring to God, our lives would be acceptable in his sight. So when I think of the sons of Levi, I think of this. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Lord, cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That speaks of two things. Sometimes we think the sins of the flesh, how awful they are. But what about the sins of the spirit? Our attitudes, our motives, the thoughts and intents of our heart that aren't right before God. And he wants us to offer an offering in righteousness. He wants us to stand before him, washed in his blood, cleansed thoroughly. And so, Lord, we come this morning. We bow before your word. I pray that you would take each one of us. We are all called to serve. We are all called to minister to our God. And we want to offer an offering that's acceptable. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd search our hearts. Search our hearts. Holy Spirit, show us the thing that displeases you so that it may depart. Lord, we offer ourselves to you. We want to be vessels in your own hand. We want to serve you in the power that you alone can give. But Lord, you are looking for those who are clean, emptied of themselves, vessels that you can fill and use. And so, Lord, take us as we are and make us what you want us to be. In spirit, in soul, and in body, no matter what the cost. For Jesus' sake, that he may be glorified. Amen.